is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The Treachery of the Pharisees.
"For this reason have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. Their judgment shall go forth as the light. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than holocausts. But they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me."
Now the Pharisees were far more numerous than the Sadducees, but their strength and power was greatest in the districts outside of Jerusalem, where the noble and priestly Sadducees controlled the temple. Dear to the heart of the Pharisee was the Sabbath rest, payment of tithe, and ritual purity. And over the years, their scribes had developed a tradition of behavior which reached into the life of every Jew. And the tabulation of what a man could or could not do on the Sabbath was long, cumbersome, and subject to seemingly capricious interpretation. They were, of course, greatly angered and puzzled by the question Jesus had raised when he had said to the paralytic, "Thy sins are forgiven thee."
"I was certain it was blasphemy. Did he not say, 'Thy sins
are'?" "Yes, Rabbi, I heard him. I was there."
"Now, you are a teacher, an expounder, an interpreter of the tradition and the law. What would you say should one of your students put the question, 'Did Jesus blaspheme'?"
"Truly, Rabbi, at this moment I would be hard-pressed for an answer."
"Indeed? Why?"
"The manner of his wording. He did not say, 'I, Jesus, forgive thee thy sins,' but 'thy sins are forgiven thee.'"
"Was not the implication clear?"
"Ah, but implications are not direct statements. I would look the fool to bring a man into court with the charge, 'This man said such and such, and this is what I think it means.'"
"Well, let it pass for the moment. Didn't he go on to say that we should know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins?"
"Ah, here again is a doubtful phrase."
"But the two taken together, isn't it blasphemy?"
"Well, let's see. Tell me, Rabbi, what is meant by the Son of Man?"
"Well, as recorded in Daniel, the Son of Man is the Messiah who will be given power and glory forever, and all people on earth shall serve him."
"Very well. But did Jesus say in so many words that he is the Son of Man? Or did he say that he would do this cure so that all would know the Son of Man had the power to forgive?"
"Well, I'm forced to admit he did not come right out and say he was the Messiah, but nonetheless, people are whispering it to themselves.
Do not some whisper the same of John the Baptist? And where is John now, but in prison? Obviously, both can't be the Messiahs. Rabbi, we've had this happen many times in our history. People who come from nowhere, it seems, and either say they are the one, or others say it for them. Then, they either die by the Roman sword, or are laughed at by the people.
But this man is different.
Yes, he is. That is why we must keep a very close watch over him. And be ready to report any and all infractions of the law to Abner when he returns to Jerusalem.
Well, very well, but look, isn't that Jesus now?
Where?
At the end of the street, there with those who always are with him.
Yes. Yes, that's Jesus. He's coming this way.
Come, let's hurry and find out what he's saying.
They hurried forward, and they halted in front of a place where a man named Levi, a tax collector, was conducting his business. There they waited for Jesus, who with his disciples was slowly coming along the street.
The amount is correct. Here's your receipt. Next, please.
Wait. You're one drachma short.
Curse on you, tax collector!
Robber, Roman jackal.
I know what you think of tax collectors. And I know that there are many unjust men who are tax collectors. But that does not mean that I take more than what is my just due for the service I give.
He's coming. Let us move away. I don't want people to see us with the publican Levi.
Wait! Oh, wait, hold your payments. I want to see Jesus go by.
Notice, Rabbi, he's looking directly at Levi.
And this would be a good time for him to speak out against the burdensome taxes the Romans levy on our nation.
Shh, wait, wait. He's speaking to Levi.
Follow me.
Did you hear that? He tells this tax collector to follow him.
Follow me. Jesus said, follow me. Just as he spoke to John and James and Andrew and Simon. Did you hear it? He wants me to go with him.
Is the fellow mad? He's closing his office.
And hold your taxes. I'll not be doing this anymore. Hold them and pay to the man who replaces me.
Surely he's not mad enough to give up a lucrative business to follow these beggars.
Jesus seems not too much concerned with whom he associates.
And listen, everybody, within sound of my voice. Tonight I will give a feast in celebration of this great honor. You're all invited. All are welcome, my friends, even those who do not like me. Rabbi, scribe, you're invited. Come and celebrate with us.
That dog!
Do you think we would sit with you and your friends? Be gone! A curse on you and all your kind!
I'm coming! Remember, tonight, all are welcome.
And Levi, the tax collector, at the words of Jesus, rose and followed him. And in time he was to be called Matthew, and the one who would write the gospel of our Lord. And the news of the banquet was passed in Capernaum, but the Pharisees and scribes were scandalized that Jesus sat among Levi's friends.
Listen. Listen, all of you.
Levi, the publican's holding a banquet. Every tax collector and sinner in town is there, and among them is Jesus. Enjoying himself, imbibing the wine and stuffing himself with food. Oh, they're having a merry time. Come, come and see for yourselves.
I was sitting in my office. Jesus stopped and said, follow me. And I did. I closed my office, didn't even count the day's receipts. I just left. It seemed the most natural thing to do.
There, what did I tell you?
What a crew for one who preaches the new life and repentance for sins.
And I see some who used to follow John the Baptist among them.
And looking none too happy about what's going on. Oh, there's a fellow I know who accompanies Jesus everywhere. I'll question him. Come here. Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners?
Yes, why is this?
It is not the healthy who need the physician, but they who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call sinners, not the just, to repentance.
Please, please, this is a celebration. Let's have no discussions. Rabbi, all who wish are invited to the feast. Would you and your party care to join us?
Why do the disciples of John fast and make supplications, and likewise those of the Pharisees, whereas thy disciples eat and drink?
Can you make the wedding guests fast? As long as the bridegroom is with them?
Rabbi, didn't John at the Jordan make this reference to the bridegroom when questioned?
But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a patch of raw cloth on an old garment, but the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse rent is made.
Now, why does he talk like a tailor? I see no logic in his discourse.
Nor do people pour new wine into old wineskins, else the skins burst. The wine is spilt, and the skins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh skins, and both are saved.
Take note how he rambles.
And no man, after drinking old wine, immediately desires new. For he says, the old is better.
Old wine, new skins, new patches, old garments. Old saws with scripture thrown in.
Well, he was quoting the prophet Osee.
Yes, oh yes, I found it. What shall I do unto thee, O Ephraim? What shall I do unto thee, O Judah? No. Here it is, yes. For I desired mercy and not sacrifices, and the knowledge of God more than holocausts. But they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously with me. I see no connection, do you?
None whatever. You know, it's my opinion the disconnected talk indicates a weakness in the mind.
Perhaps. But again, it might be deliberate.
But why?
Would he be called to account, as he will be one of these days? He'll say we misquoted him, or misinterpreted their meaning.
Well, there's nothing to do but keep trailing him.
It came to pass that on another Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples were walking through a cornfield, and they were plucking the ears and eating the grain. And the scribes and Pharisees did not fail to notice this.
Come, hurry, we must catch up with them.
Aren't we exerting ourselves too strenuously on the Sabbath?
The cause demands it. Fellow, wait a moment.
Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?
Have you not read what David did when he and those with him were hungry?
We are not interested in
how he entered the house of God and took and ate the loaves of proposition and gave to those who were with him, which no one can lawfully eat but only the priests.
Now that has nothing to
do... Or have you not read in the law? But on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are guiltless.
A priest in the temple is excused.
But I tell you, one greater than the temple is here. But if you knew what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would never have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.
The men are violating the Sabbath.
The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.
Insolent fellow. He has an answer for everything. He
compares himself with David, who was king of the Jews. This ordinary carpenter would have us believe he has the same privilege as kings of Judea.
Well, we have further evidence of his disrespect for the laws of the Sabbath.
Well, I don't feel we should follow further, lest we ourselves be criticized.
He will return to Capernaum soon, and we'll question him further.
And Jesus passed on from them, but returned to Capernaum to preach in the synagogue. And the scribes and the Pharisees were there. And when he had finished his sermon, they questioned him.
Now, put the question.
Yes. Very well, Jesus of Nazareth. Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?
What man is there among you, if he has a single sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much better is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.
Look then, directly before you sits a poor man with a withered hand.
Stand forth in the midst. Stretch forth thy hand.
Let's get out quickly. We must have a conference. No, wait.
What is it?
You see that man over there? Recognize him?
Yes, he's one of Herod Antipas' spies.
I'm going to call him over.
No. I'll not be seen talking to a Herodian.
But if we could persuade Herod to arrest Jesus as he did John the Baptist, wouldn't that solve our problem?
Can that be arranged?
Perhaps, if handled right, that means you rabbis must not be stiff-necked with him. You must be outwardly congenial.
Herod has flouted the law and has taken his niece incestuously in marriage. He himself is a half-Jew.
It's not the time to be squeamish, Rabbi. Before we're through, we'll need Herod on our side.
Well, necessity drives me to this. Very well.
And I'll call him over.
No, it's still the Sabbath. We can conduct no business until sundown. I'll go on ahead. You tell him to come to us as soon as the sun goes down.
Yes.
Oh, man of Herod, wait. I want to talk to you.
You speak of this man breaking the Sabbath. Do you think Herod would care about that? He does the same himself.
I told you, scribe, our religion means nothing to Herod.
So be it. Surely we had not asked Herod to sit in judgment on a religious matter. We must handle that ourselves.
Well said, scribe.
However, there's this to be considered. Jesus has a great following now, and the Galileans have no love for Herod.
Granted. Go on.
Only the other day, Jesus likened himself to King David, and the people present cheered him.
You heard this?
The rabbi will bear witness to it.
It is true.
I don't think Herod would like that.
Suppose Pilate were to be told that Jesus, even more persuasive than John the Baptist, was in Galilee stirring up the people.
You've not mentioned this to Pilate.
No, but... Well... Ever since John predicted one greater than himself was to come, Pilate has had his informers watching Jesus.
This is serious. Well, I mean, it could
be. Come, we can speak plainly here. We know quite well Pilate's not happy with the way Rome had divided the provinces in Palestine, and nothing would please him more than to have an excuse to send troops into Galilee.
Once he did, Herod's throne would be abolished, and Galilee would be combined with Judea.
Well, that's a possibility only.
That is the hard truth, and you know it as well as Herod.
Let's be realist. We despise Herod, and he us. But we must forget our differences in the face of a common enemy, Jesus of Nazareth.
And what do you propose?
That Herod arrest Jesus.
Oh, that wouldn't be wise right now. The followers of John are clamoring for his release. To arrest Jesus would but add another group to Herod's enemies. Now, the man's extremely popular, judging from what happened in the synagogue.
You were there?
Yes. One moment I saw a withered hand, the next one that was well. Now, if you could manage to turn the people against Jesus, Herod might act and put him in prison with John the Baptist.
We don't recognize these cures of Jesus.
Do you refuse to believe your own eyes? If you persist in denying the cures, the people will soon regard you as fools. They'll turn you out.
He's right, Rabbi. He's right. We must admit the man has cured many people.
What? You expect the priests to announce that his power is greater than theirs?
We will continue to press him to cure on the Sabbath. When the time comes, we can turn the people against him, and Herod can then arrest him.
How do you propose to do this?
Suppose we were to suggest that his command of evil spirits was obeyed because he was their king.
You've hit upon something.
Then would they be so anxious to fall down before him or follow him about the country?
Well, it might frighten some. Then again, some poor man eaten by leprosy who's made well is not going to question the gift, but joyfully accept it.
Yes, I grant you that. But the well and strong will not hesitate to think the price of the cure too great. They'll look with a suspicious eye on these works of magic.
The plan seems good.
We'll try it. However, I have another line of attack which may appeal more readily to Herod.
Yes?
Herod can unite with us in making things so uncomfortable for Jesus that he'll leave Galilee.
And go where?
Perhaps into Pilate's territory?
Excellent. The best idea so far. Then Herod could report to Rome that Pilate was permitting a rabble-rouser to move about and made no effort to stop him.
Exactly.
And Pilate, knowing that Herod informs Rome at the slightest excuse, would be forced to act.
We should put both plans into operation at once. We'll never let Jesus out of sight. We'll ask leading questions, get him to trap himself.
And then it's agreed. We work together?
Agreed. I'll leave at once and report this conversation to Herod.
One moment before you go. What's happened to John the Baptist?
Nothing yet. He's still in prison at Machaerus.
Still in prison?
Well, the fellow interests Herod. He spends much time with him. Some say Herod's under his influence. He might even release him.
Oh, he'd not be such a fool.
He would.
Is not Jesus enough trouble without releasing his friend?
I'll have no fear. Herod's wife will never permit John to go free.
It's Herod who rules Galilee, not his wife.
But she rules Herod. And she has sworn she will have the head of John the Baptist.
Would that Jesus were in John's place.
Who knows? If he remains in Galilee long, perhaps he shall be.
Then Jesus, knowing his enemies were uniting against him, withdrew from Capernaum, and many followed him, and he cured them all, and warned them not to make known that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Behold my servant, I will uphold him. I have given my spirit upon him. He shall not cry, nor have respect to person. Neither shall his voice be heard abroad. smoking flax, he shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth.
For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than holocausts. But they, like Adam, transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me.